Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
Those of you who don't know me, my name is Luke Hatfield, and my family and I have been attending River Valley since 2021. I am starting my 14th year as a campus minister at Ripon College with Campus Collective Christian Ministries. And at Ripon College, students start classes tomorrow. So there are returning students moving in today as we speak. There are freshmen that moved in yesterday, and athletes have been in for a little while. And I know that all you students and teachers and staff either are already back at school or you'll be heading there very shortly. And this morning, we're going to be talking about speech and words and our mouths, tongues, lips, that whole subject bundle from Proverbs. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about how many words students hear and read and write and speak at school every single day. And the truth is that all of us are bombarded with words in all different forms every day. We live in the information age, or maybe the misinformation age. Never before has information been so easy to access and so easy to corrupt. This is one of the things that complicates parenting, as Pastor Dave alluded to in his message last week. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dave talked about abominations. And I just want to read that passage again, Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. It says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Dave already preached on these abominations and why they're so abominable to God, but I want us to notice for our purposes this morning that three out of the seven that the Lord mentioned in this passage have to do with how we use our words. And two of those three have to do with words about lying, deceptive words. After the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan, Jesus shredded their logic and then said this in Matthew 12, 36 to 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. God tells us in James 1, 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Words are incredibly powerful, for good or for evil. In our series in Proverbs so far, one of the kind of repeated themes that we've been coming back to over and over again is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of and the foundation for wisdom. Well, in Proverbs 8:13, Lady Wisdom is speaking, and she tells us something else about the fear of the Lord. She says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Notice that Lady Wisdom names three aspects of evil here. Pride and arrogance are one. It's this attitude in our heart that says that we are the kings and queens of our lives, that we're in charge, pride and arrogance. Then the way of evil describes our actions, our path, the choices that we make in life. And then perverted speech is our talk. In Proverbs, It's important to note that that word perverted, you're going to hear that multiple times this morning. That doesn't only refer to something that is sexually inappropriate, but to anything inappropriate, crooked, corrupt, or evil. So do you hate what is evil, including crooked, evil, wrong, deceitful speech? God cares about our attitudes, our actions, and our words. And this morning we're going to talk about words using the acronym LIP. So first, who are you listening to? Second, what are your words imparting to those around you? And finally, we're going to see God's prescription for making our mouths fountains of life. Let's pray as we dig into his word this morning. Heavenly Father, this is a huge topic and it is convicting for me and I know for many of us. Words are all around us and they come out of us, and God, we need your help. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you. God, please make our mouths fountains of life. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we consider words this morning, the first question is, who are you listening to? And it reminds me of the GIGO principle, garbage in, garbage out, right? In anything that has to do with data, the data that you're going to get out is only as good as the data you put in. That's true of any information system. It's a computer programming idea, but it's true of the human system as well. What we put in is often going to be determinative of what comes out. Proverbs 2, 1 to 19. This is a lengthy passage, but I want you to listen for the words, the mouth, those principles in this passage. Proverbs 2, 1 to 19. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. One of the primary questions that this passage is asking us to consider is, who are we listening to? When we actively seek out, listen to, and live out God's words and wisdom, the result is the good, God-honoring life that he intends for us. But in this passage, we're also made aware that there are other evil sources. Two are named that kind of exemplify evil: men of perverted speech and the adulteress with her smooth words. When we listen to sources like those, it leads to destruction and death. Well, the idea of who we listen to runs throughout the whole book of Proverbs. And for the rest of the morning, I kind of have to give like a little bit of a warning, a disclaimer. The verses and passages are not going to be up on the screen. I'm going to be reading a lot of Proverbs to you, and the reason is there's easily over 150 verses in Proverbs that have to do with this whole subject bundle of the mouth, words, lips, tongue. I mean, it's huge. And so I've kind of categorized the verses a little, but I want to read a lot of it to you because Proverbs are pretty simple to understand, but I want you to get a flavor for what God is saying in each topic as we go. So I really want you to just listen. And then if there's a word that stands out to you, just jot that word down, okay? And all of the references are in your bulletins. So if you want to go back and read through them, you definitely can, all right? But the challenge for you is going to be to listen and to stay focused and hear from God this morning, all right? So as we look at what are we listening to, there's so many verses here, but I've chosen a few. So what are you listening to? Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." 10:14, "The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near." 10:18, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." 10:32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse." 15:2, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly." 17:4, "An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue." 18:8 and 26:22 both say the exact same thing. "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." It's talking about the temptation of gossip. 26:20 and 21 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." All of these verses together are pointing out that there are sources of wisdom and sources of folly that are out there. There are good words and bad words that we can find. So again, who are you listening to? Before we move on from this idea, there is one more proverb that I want to share with you. It's Proverbs 14:7, and it says, "Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge." When this proverb was written, very few people could read, and even fewer people had regular access to words of their own. So this proverb was to be taken literally back in that day. It was calling people to actually just walk away from a foolish person because you weren't going to hear any godly wisdom coming out of their mouths. When was the last time that you literally walked away from a bad conversation or walked out of a movie or away from a situation that you knew was only going to have bad words? But in our day and age, this proverb is even more difficult to apply because we have access to all kinds of words in our pocket all the time. We're surrounded by words. The truth is that we bring fools into our own presence all the time by what we read and listen to and look at. Who are you listening to? How do you tell if they're a fool or not? Well, the easiest test is the Jesus test. Is this person helping me grow closer to and more like Jesus? If not, they are either a fool or at minimum, they are acting foolish in that moment and you should probably leave their presence. You should turn it off. You should walk away. You should do something else. The only exception would be if God is calling you to be a person of wisdom in their lives and correct and faithfully point them to Jesus. But even then, the scripture warns us. Galatians 6:1 tells us, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." River Valley Church, who are you listening to? The next question that I want us to consider this morning is, what are your words imparting? And I like that word imparting, partly because it starts with I and it works great for my acronym, but also because it has the idea of giving. Have you ever thought of your words as gifts? What kind of gifts are you giving to the people around you? There's multiple proverbs about our words and what they're imparting. Chapter 10, verse 8 says, "The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin." Are you a babbler? 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Are you rash with your words? Impulsive? Do you want your words to be hurtful or healing? 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." Do you want your words to make people glad? 14:23 says, "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." Do you do what you say? 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." 15:4 says, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Are you harsh or gentle with your words? 15:23 says, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." 15:26, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure." 16:23, "The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips." 16:24, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." 16:27, "A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire." 19:5, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." 20:20, "If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness." Kids, you need to watch very carefully how you talk to your parents and to adults. Parents, you need to watch very carefully how you let your kids speak to you and to adults. We do not want our kids' lamps to be put out in utter darkness, but if they can't respect the authorities that God has placed over them, the human authorities that they can see, how will they respect the ultimate authority, God, who they can't see? We have to watch our words. 21:6, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death." Do you lie to save money on your taxes? Don't disclose some money you made on the side? Write down a different price that you bought the car for so you don't have to pay as much in taxes? Do you pad your expense account at work? Do you lie to sell something for a higher price than what it's worth or to get what you want? Whatever it is not worth it. Your integrity, your standing before God is not worth whatever it is you're lying for. 24:26, "Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips." 25:15, "With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone." 25:23, "The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, angry looks." Are you a backbiter? 28:23, whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Are you a flatterer, or are you willing to do the hard work, the sometimes thankless work of correcting in love and rebuking those that God calls you to? River Valley Church, what kind of words are you imparting? Are you giving as gifts to those around you? So far this morning, we've seen that who and what we listen to is critical, and we've spent some time considering the words that we're imparting. And to finish our time together this morning, I want to consider God's prescription so that Proverbs 10:11 would be true of us. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. That's what I want my mouth to be. I hope that's what you want your mouth to be. And our first hint is in that word righteous, right? The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Bad words come from bad hearts. Good words come from good hearts. And the problem is that we have hearts that are mixed. We can't do heart surgery on ourselves to get out the bad. The only one who can is God. Thankfully, as Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And we get this clarified for us even more in the New Testament. In John verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 14 and 12, they explain it further. It says, and the word, Jesus, isn't it cool that Jesus is the word? He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, and get this, full of grace and truth. Not skimping on either one of those. He is the perfect word who reveals God to us. And then verse 12 tells us, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Good will only come out of you in words and deeds when you have a good heart. And you can only have a good heart when you receive the free gift of eternal life. God's life through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, freely given, indwelling, empowering, and transforming you from the inside out. And you can only have that, all of that, if you will trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way our mouths can become fountains of life, is when Jesus changes our heart. So are you trusting in Jesus Christ? If you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can do that right now. All you have to do is acknowledge that your heart is mixed, that you need help, that you're a sinner. You confess that to God, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. You trust him as your personal Savior. And he comes in and transforms your heart and makes you new before God. And if you are trusting Jesus, don't try to live life on your own. Rely on him. We sang it over and over again. I depend on you. I depend on you. I can't think of an area where I can see more clearly in my own life the need for his help than my mouth. I depend on you. Don't try to tame your tongue on your own. It won't work. And as we continually rely on Jesus to transform our hearts, Proverbs has so much great practical advice for us that are part of God's prescription for making our mouths fountains of life. So we're going to close with just five practical steps from Proverbs. So the first one is listen more, talk less. And there's a bunch of verses here, 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. 11:20, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponder how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. 17:1, better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. 17:28, I like this one, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. You can at least seem smart. 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Do you sometimes spend your time in conversations just thinking about what you're going to say next and when you can jump in? Listen. 23:9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Those people that you think you're going to convince of your viewpoint on the internet, you're probably not. We need to leave the presence of a fool a lot of times. 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. 27:2 says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. 27:14, some of you teenagers I think will appreciate this one. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. Don't be obnoxious. 29:20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And finally, 30:32, if you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, put your hand on your mouth. This might be the best application from best takeaway for you from this sermon. Well, the second practical bit of advice is to put off bad words and put on God's word. That's a pattern in scripture, is that we need to put off sin and bad things, but we're not just supposed to don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. It's also, what is God calling me to? So what is God calling me to put off, and what is he calling me to put on? So we need to depart from, avoid, remove evil words, but we also need to take in God's good words. And this is very much along the lines of who are you listening to? So I just have two verses for you here. 4:24 says, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. What words is God calling you to just cut out of your life? And then 30:5, every word of God proves true. And I like the NIV translation. It says, every word of God is flawless. You can take it to the bank. It's perfect. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Are you regularly taking in God's flawless, perfect word? The third practical step we can take to make our mouths fountains of life is to commit to truth with absolutely no lies. Again, we've already covered this idea quite a bit, so here are just two more proverbs to consider. 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Do you want to be an abomination or a delight to the Lord? Number four of practical advice is stop quarreling. 17:14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. 20:3, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife. But every fool will be quarreling. 21:9, it is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. And before you husbands jump on that one, it's equally true the opposite way, okay? It's so exhausting to be around somebody who just wants to fight all the time. 26:17, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. 26:20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. And 26:21, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. If you're someone who loves a good fight, you need to ask God about that. And I'm speaking from someone who sometimes loves a good fight. It's not a good look. It's not honoring to God for us to be quarreling. There are things that can be worth fighting for and standing up for, but there's a way to do it that's still not quarrelsome. The fifth and final just piece of practical advice is to fix bad words quickly. 6:1-5, I want you to hear the pleading in this father's, and that, like, almost the desperation. He says, my son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hands of your neighbor. Go. Hasten and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. The idea here is that if we mess up with our words, we need to repent quickly, immediately. Apologize. Correct yourself. Your words, your commitment. If you told a lie, go back and tell the truth and say, I am so sorry. Don't just leave it. I think we have a terrible habit in our culture of just when we say something bad, either we double down on it to, like, just fight for the stupid thing that we said, or we just are like, well, we're just going to leave it. There's so many words out there, it'll just be lost and forgotten. That is not God's way. Don't just leave it. Fix it as quickly as possible. Do whatever you need to do. Apologize, repent, fix it. River Valley, as you reflect on your words, I want you to remember Lip. Who are you listening to? What are your words imparting to those around you? And remember God's prescription for making our mouths fountains of life. It's heart surgery through faith in Jesus. Only when we trust in Jesus and submit to the work of the Holy Spirit will our mouths be transformed into fountains of life. And finally, I would just encourage you over lunch or supper today or the course of this week to discuss with your loved ones which of the five prescriptions from Proverbs you most need. They're in your sermon outline in your bulletins. Do you most need to listen more and talk less? To put off bad words and put on God's word? To commit to truth with no lies, to stop quarreling, and or to fix bad words quickly. Maybe there's something that you know you said this past week to someone, and you need to fix it. God is calling you to go to that person and repent or tell the truth. Well, let's pray. God, thank you so much that every word of yours is flawless, perfect, true. And thank you that you are willing to be a shield to us who are far less than perfect with our words if we take refuge in you. God, give us the courage to leave the presence of a fool and to stop going to fools and inviting fools into our hearts and minds and lives. God, help us to put away from us crooked speech and to put devious, deceitful talk far from us. And would you please, by your power, and with us fully relying on you, Jesus, and the power of your Spirit at work in us, would you make our mouths fountains of life? Thank you so much, Jesus, that you are our sure hope and source of righteousness. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.